save this?
Oh, you can just save that and save it in the documents.
Okay, alright.
Just, yeah, you save this.
I don't know why it's doing that to me.
Yeah, it's saving it in the documents.
Good to see you all again.
Let's see if that comes out.
This is our functional design meeting. Just a sec while my PowerPoint comes up. There we are. Okay, we put the fashion in electronics. Let's start. Okay, our agenda today, I'm going to do an opening, talk about, did you all get the minutes? I emailed them to you. I'm also putting them in the shared folder. So we'll talk about our general objectives and have your three presentations. I'll talk about the new project requirements I've just received. And then we have to make a decision on remote control functions. And finally, we'll just close. We're starting this meeting at approximately 12:13 and we have 40 minutes. So. First of all, the functional design objectives. We need to keep in mind the user requirement specification, what needs and desires are to be fulfilled. The textual functions design, what effect the apparatus should have. And the working design, how the apparatus actually works to fulfill its function. Okay, three presentations. You can go in any order you choose.
Should we go in the order that you just did it?
Sure, please do.
I don't know. How do I hook my screen down?
I think you might have to disconnect
yours. Yes.
And then you have to press function.
Function, F8, yeah. Blue one, FN. Is it plugged in all the way and you screwed it in and...
Oh wait, screwed.
I think you sort of push it in really hard.
That's it.
Oh, got it.
Oh, well, it's tightened a little bit. Not attached to anything.
Neither have I.
There you go.
Alright, so I don't know if you guys are able to get access to the report that was online, or if I'm the only one who is. But I don't even know how to play this.
Press the little presentation. It's the, it looks like a Y kind of over there above draw. There, that one. There
you go. All right. So we're just going to talk a little bit about functional requirements that people specified when they were asked. I guess Real Reaction did some market research. They had 100 subjects into their usability lab, and they watched them watch TV and recorded the frequency that they used particular buttons and the relevance that those buttons had. What they found was they analyzed people's desires and needs, focusing on their desires. People specifically said that they thought remotes were ugly. 75% of the 100 subjects noted that, and that they, more importantly though, 80% said that they would be willing to pay more for a fancier looking remote. I don't know anything beyond what fancy means, but that's particularly of use to us, I think. Also, they did some questions on voice recognition and found that the desire for voice recognition was inversely related to age, so younger people were more inclined to want something with voice recognition, whereas the older people in the like 60 and above segment or so did not really think that they would pay more money for voice recognition. People also had certain frustrations that I think that we could try to take into consideration with our design, that being people frustrated with losing their remotes. I think over 50% of the people mentioned that that was their biggest frustration. People were also frustrated with the difficulty it is to learn how to use a remote. And I think that ties back to what you were saying before, just that there's too many buttons, it just needs to be easy to use. It also mentioned something called RSI, and I was hoping someone might be able to inform me as to what RSI is.
Repetitive strain injury.
What?
Repetitive strain injury.
Ah, there we go. Wow. People did not like that. So I guess sort of the carpal tunnel type thing. People did not like that the repetitive use, I guess, caused a strain. Looking at the needs people specified, the problem right now is that people's remotes are not matching their operating behavior. People are only using 10% of the buttons that they have offered to them on their remote. And what people do most often is changing the channel and changing the volume. People also zap, like change the channel, about 65% during an hour of use. So we really just need to focus in on those volumes and channel changers rather than things like the audio settings, the screen settings, and the channel settings, because they're used much more infrequently and probably complicate what's going on. So I think that some things that we might want to think about, the idea of an LCD screen was brought up, although they didn't have any details on what people's preferences on that were, so I don't know if that's coming to me later or something like that, but something for us to consider. Also, just the phenomenon that less is more when it comes to the buttons on the remote or what we want to make easiest to use. Make sure that, you know, something like an audio setting isn't given as much importance and visibility on the remote as something like channel changing that's used a lot more often. And basically, in order for us to win over to the consumer, we just need to focus on what it looks like, that it has a fancy appeal, and that it's not ugly, and that it feels like the way they're going to use it, so it doesn't give them any hand injuries or things like that.
Thank you very much. That was great. Let's move on to the next presentation on effects. User interface, right?
And I think that's in the shared, if I did it right, if anyone wants to look at it.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm going to talk about the technical functions design of the remote control. You need to start by considering what a remote control actually is. It's a device that allows us to produce certain effects on our television. So it's basically a communication device. We tell the remote control what we want to do. It sends a message to the television saying, change the channel, change the volume, you know, adjust these settings, adjust the brightness. How do we actually go about designing a new television remote control? First thing to do is to come up with the design specifications. We need to know what our final product is going to be like. So we need a clear idea of exactly what this product does, how it works, and what the end user is going to want from this product. A way I'd suggest that we could go about this is by designing several different prototypes of user interfaces for this product, and then trying to get some feedback about how well these particular prototypes work, sort of find out what people think of them. Using a remote control is quite a subjective experience, and different people sort of prefer different things. We should remember that remote controls are a fairly standard piece of equipment. When a user's using a remote control, he or she expects the buttons to be in certain places. So in some sense, we're gonna have to aim for a device which is fairly conventional in design, so that we're not completely shocking people. But I think within that, there is also room for us to introduce novel ideas and to make something that's perhaps a little bit different, something that stands out. Also, in designing the user interface, we need to consider practicalities. The first of these is technological. What can we do with the current state of technology as it is? The second is economic. We need to find the balance between features and price. So, as you mentioned, things like voice recognition would add to the price, but it would also improve the design of the product. So I had a look on the web to see if I could find a few examples of existing television remote controls. In analysing these, we can consider what's good about them, what things do they get right, what's bad about them, what's wrong with them, how we can improve on the designs that are found, and what can we do to make our products stand out from the large majority of remote controls. Here's two examples, probably at the extreme ends of the spectrum. On the left here, we've got an engineering-based design for a remote control. So it's one that's got lots of buttons, it's fully featured. Everything you might possibly want to do is there. You know, it's got forward, backwards, up, down, channel numbers, volume, freeze frame. You know, it's fully featured. And it might take a while to get to learn to use it, but once you've learned it, you can do whatever you want with your TV. The one on the right is a lot more basic. It's just got the essential functions of the TV, changing the channel, play, stop, volume. It would be a lot quicker to learn to use it, but again, it swings and roundabouts. The disadvantage is you can't use it, say, to freeze the television picture. There's a lot of features that are missing from that remote control. So we've got to find a way of striking a balance between the two. As I said before, remote controls are subjective. Different people want different things. Personally, what I want from a remote control is a device that's simple. It's easy to use. It's got big buttons for doing the things I do most often, changing the volume, changing the channel. It does everything that I need it to. As I said before, I'm quite lazy. I don't want to walk across the room just to adjust my television. I also want something that looks cool and that feels good, that's ergonomically designed.
Okay, thank you very much. That was very useful. It's funny to see the drastic difference between those two remotes. And neither of them were very pretty, you know?
No. I think that could be our selling point.
Mm-hmm. Fashion remote.
I think there's certainly a market for technology that looks cool. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where companies like Apple have made a lot of progress.
I really can't see what I'm doing, so does anyone have?
Yep, there it is.
Ah, look at that. Showing up already.
So wait, did it let you go on the internet, or was that just what it let you see?
That was just on the company website. Yeah.
So I was like, Googling, and then I'm like, wait, let me Google.
Alright, no, how do I play again?
It's right above draw. There are three thingy, it's way at the bottom. There are three icons, and it's the one that looks like a desk. Yeah, that one.
Okay. While. So this is our working design presentation. I had a bit of some issues with this because I wasn't able to find everything I needed, but I guess we're still in early stages. The thing about working design is what we're trying to do as a working designer is figure out how the apparatus can fulfill its function. One of the examples that kept coming up for me is that a coffee grinder. It works because it converts electrical energy to grinding the beans, and then you put the beans through a filter, and that filters out, and then you get coffee at the end that's nice and hot because of the combination of electrical energy and then other things that are brought in to make it work. I don't know if I'm explaining that very well, but how do I get to the next? So, the method as working designers to figure out what you need to make it fulfill this practical function. What needs to be done, and how do we convert all the elements to make that done? So, the easiest thing to do is to break down all the points at which you need something to happen. So you make a schematic of the way that the energy is converted towards this practical function. And then I think the easiest thing to do is going to be work on each task separately. So, So the findings that I got very briefly is that you have a choice of the way that the information is projected to the receiver. And in my opinion, infrared is the best way to do that because you don't need a sight line. So that's one thing we're going to work on. The user interface is critical here because a lot of the things that happen in a remote control happen through the chip that converts the electrical energy into data, which then goes through the infrared. So the chip that I think Ian is designing is going to be crucial. And really it all comes down to the user because they're the one that's controlling most of the working design. So the components that we find here are the energy source, you know, the battery or whatever that's going to make it work. Then the chip, which converts the data, the user that's controlling the chip, and the infrared bulb that's going to let us move the data to the receiver. So you have four main components, and they are designed sort of like this. You have your energy source right there, which then brings energy or information to the chip, which is also controlled by the user. So you have energy going to the user who's controlling the chip. Ooh, that's not what I wanted to do.
Use that thing on that you can go back.
Previous. Sorry about that, guys. Okay, let's just get back to my schematic here.
Double click on it. With the left hand one.
Yeah, I am. I think it's frozen. Here, don't show me that. There we are.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, guys. I'm kind of pathetic with things like this. All right. So you have your energy source, your user interface, who's controlling the chip. The chip also uses the energy. And the chip, through the use of the user interface, is going to control the switch, which will work your infrared bulb, which will then bring the data to the receiver. So hopefully that makes sense for everyone in my kind of garbled way. This is the parts of the working design that need to be figured out. And personal preferences, besides the fact that I can't spell, we need a long-lasting energy source. People don't want to be changing it a lot. We need a chip that works well with the user interface, that isn't too complicated. We need a straightforward interface, like Ian was saying, simple, not overwhelming it with information. And we need a reliable and clear infrared signal, so that you're not waving your remote around and having to get frustrated and go do it by hand. That's pretty much it for the working design.
Excellent.
Sorry, Ross, do you think you can give me a hand with this?
Yes, absolutely. I can never tell which way to turn these things.
Yeah.
Lefty loosey, righty tighty, right?
Yeah.
What's that?
Lefty loosey, righty tighty.
Oh. Never heard that before. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
I think of it every time, though.
It's kind of a good one. It's a good deal.
Okay, requirements. We have a couple new requirements that I was just emailed right before the meeting that we had to keep in mind as we're creating this. We didn't bring it up yet or at all in the meeting so far, but we're not going to work with teletext because that's been taken over by the internet, so we're not going to worry about that.
What's teletext?
It's a British thing.
You don't have it in the States?
No.
Would you care to explain it?
Yeah, it's like I suppose it's kind of similar to a very, very basic web browser. You have numbers on your remote control, and you type in the page number you want. So, like, you type 100 on your remote control, and this kind of index appears on the television screen with just some text and some very blocky looking graphics on it. And you just type numbers to go to different pages, and it gives you information.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly rather boring stuff like what's on TV next and share prices and that kind of thing.
Lottery numbers and sports scores.
Yeah, news headlines.
But if you ever see the TV saying, like, go to page 160 on CFAX now, that's what they're talking about.
Huh.
It's pretty old technology. It's like 1980s.
That explains a lot.
I have no idea why we don't have it, but.
That's good.
Interesting. Okay, well, we're not going to, the management decided we're not going to work with that. And we're also going to, like your question earlier, whether this is going to be for television, video, or et cetera, just for television. That's right. What we're focused on. Otherwise, it becomes too complex. We want to get this out very quickly. We only have a short amount of time. And finally, this is more marketing, I think, our corporate image has to be recognizable. So while we're going to make it look pretty, we need to use our color and our slogan in the new design.
So what's our corporate image like? It's kind of yellow color with our, we
like
put
fashion. Kind of a yellow and black, and we have the emphasis on the R's. In
it's like double R.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, we put the... fashion and electronics, so we gotta keep that in mind.
Okay, so we want something that looks good.
Yeah.
And it's yellow.
Yeah, or maybe some buttons could be yellow. Like we can play around with it a little bit. Okay, we need to talk about our functions and our target group. We need to decide who our target group is. You, in your analysis of different market of the marketing, you identified that different groups wanted different things or had certain preferences. For example, that that older people didn't really care for voice recognition, but younger people did. And so, who are we aiming this at?
Well, if we're gonna say that function, fashion, we put the fashion in electronics, then you automatically, I think, sort of younger group, that's who's going to be attracted to this.
You also have to think who's going to have the money to buy it also.
It's going to be €25, remember, so it has to be marketable to whomever it is.
Is it something that's going to be sold separately from the television, or is it something that comes with a television? Because that would affect the way that we market it.
Well, at least right now what we're doing is deciding on just the remote itself. So
right.
It will probably be sold separately.
Right, okay.
€25 by itself.
The only breakdown that I was given in terms of age was the voice activation, and basically there's a big jump after 35. People don't really care if it has voice. So it's like basically 15 to 35 that think that that's a good idea. I don't know if I'm going to be given any other numbers broken down in terms of age later, but if that's sort of the only quality that we have that is divided into age, then we would want to stick between the 15 and 35 range.
That's probably a population with quite a little bit of disposable income for use on technology anyway, so that might be a fairly good target group for us.
Now, those are, that's all specific for speech recognition. Are we going to use that as one of our functions?
I would say no, because it's going to add too much to the price. Especially if we are marketing it as a separate product, people are going to be paying. We've got a price limit of, was it 12 and a half euros?
To produce it, yes.
And I wonder if we can get voice recognition into that 12 and a half euros without having to make too many other compromises.
But what else are we going to put? I mean, not that I'm really gung-ho about it, I don't know what else you can put in a remote to make it technologically advanced, though. So, like, other than just making it look good, how is it? I mean, it can look really great and still have the same up and down buttons, and why is anyone going to buy a new remote?
Well, but why are we aiming for a technological advancement? Everything we're talking about is ease of use and simple, and that doesn't necessarily mean more technology.
In fact, it could mean
not. If they might be overwhelmed with remotes that have too many buttons and too much technology.
If someone's looking to buy a new remote, don't they want like an upgrade? I don't know.
Upgrade, well, we can look at upgrade, or we can look at user friendly.
Yeah, simplification. They could have a crappy remote that came with their TV that's just impossible to use. Or maybe it broke, or maybe they're just missing it.
And we also need to talk about if we're only going to have the very simple ones, or also have the other ones just separate somehow, or...
This might be too complicated, but I wish I had something to explain it. Like, if it was just a simple, either this way or this way, that had, like, the main buttons, and then you could, like, pull something out, kind of, and, like, you got the rest of the buttons, but the rest of them, like, went in. Do you know what I'm saying?
There are remote controls like that, yeah. Like, some TVs, they have a sort of a sliding screen on the remote control that hides all the complicated buttons. So if you want to do something complicated, like program your television or retune it, then you open up this little hatch or slide the screen down, and there's all the special buttons.
Because then, like, people who don't want to ever look at them never even have to see them. And if you get the instruction manual that comes with it and you just don't even read it, then you'll never even know that those things can pull out. And you're a happy person. And everyone else doesn't have to have, like, two remotes, one that has the easy ones and one that has the more complicated ones.
That's a good idea.
It's all still in one.
We have to be careful that doesn't impede the chip transmitting information.
Yeah.
But that's going to be mostly a technological thing. So what are we emphasizing in this project?
Simplicity and fashion.
Simplicity and fashion. Okay, those are very good goals, I think, that we have to keep in mind with everything we do. Simplicity and fashion and usability, however you want to say that, which includes an emphasis on making the infrared very functional so that you don't have to travel around a lot.
Yeah.
What can you do to, like, make the infrared more functional? Like, why would it not be? I'm just wondering.
I think it's a lot to do with battery, but that's just my...
The battery, and that I think that the chip takes the data and presents it well without sort of scattering.
So it's just the quality of the chip?
Yeah, I think so. The quality of all the components, really. I mean, we can't really do anything shoddy work because it's going to be visible down the line.
So our target group, we're saying 15 to 35?
Well, I don't know how useful that number is if we're not doing
voice recognition.
Yeah.
Which I kind of feel like voice recognition is not necessary in a remote control. Like, it might be necessary for a TV, but not for the remote.
Yeah, it's pretty high tech.
Yeah, and it might be too expensive.
And if the whole idea is you're using a remote, then why would you have a voice? Like, you know what I mean? Then it's like you would need a remote, you would just talk to your TA.
Yeah.
It's for like the ultimately lazy people who can't even be bothered to pick up the remote.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, I mean, if I get more numbers, I'll email you before the next meeting in terms of ages. But this doesn't divide up anything. And it was only 100 subjects also, which isn't, I mean, really isn't that representative, especially if it's 100 subjects that they then can subdivide into age groups. That means there's very few in each age group, so.
I think regardless, we're aiming for the under 65 or something.
Under 65, okay, that's a good start. I'd say we're, can we narrow it down to maybe teenagers and families? Because that would go up to like 50.
Single professionals or something?
20 to like 55?
Yeah. It's hard to narrow it down.
It's really hard to figure out right now.
I think the product appeals across quite a broad range of ages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've said simplicity is one of the features, so it's going to appeal to people, maybe people who have problems with technology, you know, people who get scared by having lots of buttons, and that might be older people. But then we've also got fashion, which is something that definitely appeals to younger people.
Well, maybe we don't have to define the target group by the demographic of age. Maybe we could define it by like the demographic of like how much money they have to spend or something like that.
Yeah,
like, well, obviously it has to be someone who owns a television. And like how recently have they bought their television, like that sort of thing.
So maybe it's more useful to define objectives, like fashion and simplicity, than define specific target group as far as age is. Because yeah, things will appeal to different people, but okay. There are a couple functions. Do we want something so that do we want some kind of thing to find it if it's lost?
Yeah.
Like a button on the TV you can press and it'll ring or something. I don't know, like or beep.
I mean, like I said before, 50% of the frustration someone could have, that was the biggest one. And half people said that happened, and we all mentioned it before we knew about it.
Yeah.
And if we're talking about making something easy, that sort of goes along with it, so it wouldn't be like a random thing to sort of add in. It would be relevant to like the overall goal, I think.
Yeah,
so
that'd probably be good.
Okay, we have about 4 minutes left to define our functions, so let's do that quickly. So we want something to keep it from getting lost.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we want large buttons for the essential things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Large accessible buttons for the essentials. We want a possibility to get the extra functions.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Which are kind of hidden away in some way. Well, not hidden, but they're not as prominent as the main feature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hidden away. And we also want it to be fashionable, which I'm not sure if that's a function so much as a, yeah.
Just wondering if like on your coffee table, it's not like an eyesore, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, do any other essential functions that we need? Battery? Do we need
battery,
a long life
battery?
Battery
use. Yeah, but I think that goes in with simplicity and ease of use, really.
So you
never have to change the battery?
Yeah.
We should maybe investigate whether it needs a battery at all. I suspect the remote control does need a battery, but
yeah, I would imagine, just because it is an electronic device.
Yeah.
I think it does. I don't think of a way you can operate a chip and convert that much data without one.
Without the energy.
But you could maybe have it in a little charging station, like a mobile phone, or like a little cradle for your iPod.
Yeah, that's possible.
You could maybe do that instead. So you don't have you or like a rechargeable battery.
Yeah.
I don't know, that might contribute to less people losing it too. If stays in one place.
We have to think about space in living rooms too. Like, is there? I mean, would you put it on top of the TV? I don't know. Just think. Okay, that's a good idea. We'll keep it.
Yeah. It's just off the top of my head.
It might be fun. Okay. Okay, we're gonna conclude now. Has everyone said their functions?
Yeah.
Okay. After the meeting, we're gonna each complete a questionnaire and summary. I don't know why it's summarization. And then we'll have our lunch break. After that, we have 30 minutes of individual work. I'll make sure to put the minutes in the project documentation and including this PowerPoint slides. If everyone could do that as well, that'd be great. You each have individual actions, ID, industrial design. You have your components concept, user interface, the user interface concept, market, trend, watching. And as per last time, you'll get specific instructions from your personal coach emailed to you. And hopefully, I hope next time you'll be able to access more of the website that they seem to tell you that you could.
Yeah.
It's kind of frustrating, but be sure to note any frustrations or any issues that come up in your summary.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Great, female.
Awesome. Did you, were you able to, like, put yours in the group folder?
Yes, uh-huh. I just did that. Hopefully it is there for people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Looks like there are, looks like there's a second one, kind of mine.
Yeah.
That I didn't do. It's from, like, an earlier project, I think, so.
Okay.
Where is that? Yours is?
Under the shared folder. I don't know, it might not even be under yours.
So
well.
In there we
projects.
Have technical functions, presentation, working design, presentation, and the functional requirements. At least that's what
I only have three. I just have like our three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I have as well.
Okay.
Yours, so.
You don't have mine.
No, but that's because I think yours is in the email. Separate, like it's not on the server. But if I open it and then save it, probably will be there. Oh wait, never mind, you can't save. So.
Okay. Well, I'll figure that out in the meantime.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay.